less said about that, the better, probably. It's 32 seconds after the hour of 12, and this, the month of June, in the year of our Lord 2006. My processing sounds extra crisp today. Actually, it's going to be a good day, I can tell. I can smell it on the horizon like so much napalm. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. Speaking to you through the Electro Voice RE20, the finest microphone known to man. Our Cartomatic is loaded. We are locked and ready to begin today. It is Monday, June 5th. That means we are now about 30 hours away. That's a 3-0. The 3 with a 0 immediately following it. We are now 30 hours away from the greatest photo op in the history of this beer-soaked town. Horns Across the Hawthorne happens tomorrow, my friends. Tomorrow. And I hold here in my hands. The best part is I didn't even have to do this myself. I didn't even have to stoop to doing this my own self in a vain attempt for publicity. This is from the... I don't even know what Warner Pacific College is. Is that a real school or is that one of those... Is it one of those schools that we talk about sometimes that they advertise at 2 in the morning during blind date reruns?
Learn how to staple documents for doctors. A 4-year associate's degree in stapling.
And it always is, no disrespect, but those colleges are always pitched by a guy who looks and sounds just like Jim Cramer. Mm-hmm. And it's always a lot of, do you want to earn more money? And it's like there's a flashing thing at the bottom and like bad clip art dollar signs falling across the screen. Come to what? Non-accredited college right now. Warner Pacific College... it's somewhere. Well, I'll read this.
So I take it there's a Warner Atlantic College somewhere.
I don't know. I came across... There's a Warner Piggly Wiggly, too. I came across this post about Horns Across the Hawthorne on the Internet, and it looks... Here's the thing. It looks exactly like the kind of post that I myself would have put out pretending to be somebody else. Would that that were the case. It is not. Apparently, good upstanding Portland Christians everywhere are disturbed and unnerved by tomorrow's event. Fantastic. It's all going according to plan. We'll read that here in a few. Horns Across the Hawthorne tomorrow. Go to rickemerson.com or 970.am to find out more information. We'll talk about that here in a few. It's 503-733-2970. By the way, we got new prizes for the pentagram of prizes, which you will be spinning tomorrow at Dante's at the 666 party, which immediately follows Horns Across the Hawthorne. We're going to be giving away a couple. George Foreman Grill, baby. You mock now. You laugh now. You only laugh because you haven't used it. We've also got a bunch of crap from that Omen film, which is apparently terrible. Which, in the words of Harry Knowles, was put together by paint-sniffing clowns. So we got Omen crap tomorrow. We got the Foreman Grill. That's not the best thing, though. We're going to be giving away in the spirit of 666 tomorrow. Wasn't there a spirit of 76?
Yes, there was.
There ought to be a spirit of 666. Wait, too late. See, if only I had thought of this last week. And if only I had a budget. And jingle singers. Any sort of money with which to have something produced. Anyway, just in your head now, insert the spirit of 666. Ding. Just kind of do that in your head from now on. In the spirit of 666 tomorrow on the pentagram of prizes at Dante's, which is immediately following Hearts Across the Hawthorne, we are going to be giving away 6 minutes of this radio program with which you can do whatever you want. We're going to be giving away 6 minutes of the Rick Emerson Show, perhaps to you. Now, to spin the pentagram of prizes, you got to get the official Horns Across the Hawthorne laminates, like a backstage pass. You can only do that if you show up to the actual event. We gather 5:30 tomorrow, Northwest Pedestrian Bridge there, from thence to wreak havoc upon the city. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on today, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian is going to join us to talk about what is not the Sopranos season finale, certainly not the series finale. I will get... See, because you didn't see it again last night, right?
I did not see it. But I'm going to tonight.
It's like the third week in a row.
I know. I had other things to do.
He has a busy social life.
Do those things involve drinking for free?
It's true. They did.
Okay. Well, I'll give nothing away except to say that last night's surprise was fantastic. It was a great episode. And not a whole lot happened. It wasn't traumatic or anything. But it was very strange because it was a Christmas episode. And you can tell that means that this eight episodes that we just finished, because they're doing the second half of the season in January. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. You can tell that HBO is screwing around with the timeline to try to squeeze out as many subscriptions as they possibly can. So we'll talk about last night's Sopranos with Peter Carlin. We got a new installment of the week in Geek. Don Rickles tickets. We have a pair of tickets, and I believe... Wait, hold on. I believe, although I am... Yes, wait for it. Don Rickles at Chinook Wind, plus buffet for two. Ka-ching!
Wow.
That wow was the best thing ever. All right. So we'll be giving away those tickets during the show today. Don Rickles, Chinook Winds. Hey, I'm going to be there.
I will be, too.
It's kind of best thing ever. Look, how many chances are you going to have left in your life to see a guy who's, you know, kind of an unofficial Rat Pack member? You know what I mean? Pair of tickets to Don Rickles plus buffet for two. It's going to be later on during the day. We'll give that away. What else? We'll do the top five. Lisa Goddard is going to join us from CNN Radio and so forth. Plus, we get all these emails about Horns Across the Hawthorn and whatnot. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and black cod, Sarah X. Dillon. How are you feeling today?
I'm okay. I'm getting...
You look like the bee's knees.
Thank you. I'm fighting off the sickness. I'm not going to get sick, so...
All right. Good that we're all in a tiny enclosed room, breathing
know,
the same recirculated air.
I'm trying not to cough.
It's too late for us now.
I know.
No, it's, you know, that's the thing, like, you never hear the bullet. As soon as you start to cough, Tim and I are already infected. Doesn't matter. And as soon as you feel better, we're going to be in our deathbed. So finding it, I'm just going to have to be zen with it. All right. This has nothing to do with last night, does it?
No, actually, when I started feeling sick, I went on one of the Shanghai tunnel tours, and all I was doing was breathing in dust.
Dust and
3 hours. Yeah.
Iron shavings.
Yeah, as soon as I emerged, I was, like, covered in dust, and my tongue felt fuzzy.
I don't even know where those are.
Oh, it's fun.
I don't know what they are. I don't know anything about them. Is that like that crap when you tour underground Seattle?
Yeah, similar.
Yeah.
Because touring under... I went on the underground Seattle tour a couple years ago, and it was disappointing. I mean, just a whole... I mean... It just was like going through an unfinished house.
I mean, just the concept of being kidnapped and no one seeing you again here on the streets of Portland.
Yeah, they're showing us trap doors. And you don't know what we're
I have
about.
No idea what the Shanghai tunnels are. I've lived
what
here for
kind
almost 10
of
years. I'm sorry.
Really? All right, briefly, Shanghai tunnels. They used to Shanghai people where they'd basically get them really drunk, kidnap them.
Right.
Like knock them out for 14 hours at a time, put them on these ships where they had to go on voyages.
By the time they wake up, they're long gone.
Yeah, they're already on
boats. Wake up, you're on a raft to China.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Women were sold to prostitution and men were sold just for free, to work for
from
free.
From Portland?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And there are opium dens down there, too.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And they're holding cells and they'd hold like 12 people at a time in their bars on the window.
No, it's true.
No, it's messed up.
And all the people they shanghaied, they left their shoes behind.
Okay. I'm sorry. I know it makes me a bad Northwesterner. I've been here almost a decade. It's one of those.
It's one of the best things about Portland.
All right, fine.
1,500 people a year disappeared.
Mm-hmm. I'm suitably chastened. I will go. Tim Riley's at the City Desk working on the following stories for your edification today.
A Seattle man tries unsuccessfully to blow up his house. A woman is shot siphoning gas. Flies to Lone Turn 60. And Condoleezza Rice says, pay no attention to the Iraqis who want us to leave after allegedly massacring their civilians. The vast majority embrace our form of democracy.
Well, I, for one, welcome our new reptilian overlords. 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, do you have any listeners who live in an address that is 666 or has 666 in it? If so, I believe they deserve to be the Honorable Photo Grand Marshal, or Grand Demon anyway, for tomorrow. Get them up there taking photographs. Well, here's the thing. We've got at least three people tomorrow who are going to be taking different photographs. We got our good friend Jason Crump. He's going to be down. Is that like mustard-colored fire department building that's kind of over on the... you know, it's by the industrial district. It's over there on the east side. He's going to be taking a photograph from there. We got the guy who's going to be out there in a boat. He's going to be taking a photograph from a boat, which is, I don't know, going to be a couple hundred yards away from the bridge. We got a third person who's going to be on the west side, down there by that funky restaurant, down there by the Rose Festival kind of thing going on. So we'll get to all of that. That's coming up tomorrow. Horns Across the Hawthorn. We got more details at the MySpace site or at rickemerson.com. So that is all on the way, and I got to all these. I can't condone cutting classes. I don't care if there's only 2 days left in your high school education. It would be wrong, I say, for these many high school students who are emailing in about their intention not to go to school tomorrow, but instead to come to this radio event. It would be wrong for you to do that.
Even the people taking the VCR repair course at Warner Pacific College. You're throwing away your career by skipping that class.
The best part about those commercials, by the way, those 800 commercials, is how Sally Struthers, She kind of had that Marie Osmond thing where it looked as though she might burst into tears and then begin cutting herself at any moment. It was a whole lot of... It's like that half giggle, half cry as she was listing these useless classes you could take. And so, TV VCR repair, animal veterinary assistant. I squandered all my All in the Family money. What am I going to do? You know, and it was so loud. I can't pay the rent. All this stuff together, but there's no time. Grains of salt. Let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting.
Yeah.
Seattle police say a man attempted to blow up his house with natural gas. Spokeswoman Deborah Brown said the cops went to the home last night after a neighbor said a mentally ill man was throwing things at her house.
Where?
Seattle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The man told police to stay away or he would blow up his house. Officers smelled the gas and then the man set his house on fire.
Yeah.
An officer saw the man in the window, broke the window, and pulled him out. He's being treated at Harborview Medical Center in Seattle for being nuts, and he'll face charges of assault and arson, even though his house didn't burn down.
Excellent. Fantastic.
Time now for Democracy on the March.
Here's your Democracy on the March.
America's alliance with the new Iraqi government was plunged into major crisis as the country's prime minister and its people reacted with fury to the U.S. military clearing its forces of killing civilians during operations against insurgents.
I'm glad that Iraqis are finally responding with fury as opposed to the passive resistance that they've been greeting us with until now.
No, these are the last throes of the insurgency who have now teamed up with plain old anarchists.
Remember how they weren't insurgents? They were insurgents one day.
Dead-enders.
It's like the many faces of Eve. There's like the many faces of Rumsfeld. They were insurgents. Then they were dead-enders. Then they were...
The last throes.
Then they were guerrillas. Mm-hmm. Then they weren't guerrillas anymore. They were anarchists.
Yeah.
And then they were just gang members. Now they're back to being insurgents again. So, right. Apparently Donald Rumsfeld's got one of those things on his door, like those things that every college kid has in their dorm room. What kind of mood is Kerry in today? And it's like you point the arrow at, MIFT. So, today they are insurgents once again.
Well, Iraqi leaders vow to press on with their own probe, like it's going to make any difference at this point.
People got to be punished. Smooth everything out now.
A report filed by Iraqi police accused U.S. troops of rounding out and deliberately shooting 11 people, including 5 children and 4 women, in a house before blowing up the building. And video revealed by the BBC appeared to show the aftermath of the U.S. action, including a number of dead adults and children that experts claim were clearly gunshot wounds. Meanwhile, Condoleezza Rice says these recent allegations are troubling to everyone, but the vast majority of Iraqis respect the American troops and want them to stay.
Overwhelmingly, American forces there, putting their lives on the line every day, protecting Iraqis, helping to liberate them. That is appreciated by the Iraqi people and by the Prime Minister.
Everyone appreciates it.
Everyone loves America. Rest of the world can't get enough of us.
Mm-hmm. Our retired Army General James Mark says an incredible amount of time is spent giving all service members a sense of culture and environment they're in.
This war that we're about right now in Iraq requires certain very specific training. So there is great immersion into what to expect, what will excite, what will incite, what will garner support and response from the indigenous folks.
Apparently the training consists of aim for the head and wipe all fingerprints off afterward. Because I saw the BBC did a whole thing about this where they, it's horrible when they showed the house where this melee thing that apparently happened. Not to sound callous about this sort of thing, but it's not as though the Iraqis especially needed like an additional 11 dead bodies to be angered by. It's not as though they were out there putting daisies in the guns at this, before this.
And 50 Iraqis have been kidnapped today at a bus stop, so who knows what happened to them.
That's clearly liberal propaganda.
Meanwhile, Condi Rice is downplaying Iranian threats to cut off our oil exports.
I think that we shouldn't...
Wait, hold on a second. Is it Irani?
From Iran, you're an Irani.
I guess it'd be an Iranian. Who makes up these goddamn rules? How can you be...
The chattering class.
If you're from Iraq, mm-hmm. and you're an Iraqi. But if you're from Iran...
You're an Irani.
But you're probably not. You're probably an Iranian. Well, and yet if you're from Pakistan, you are what? You are a Packy. I don't think you can say Packy. Isn't Packy what they say in Britain is a slur? Isn't Packy a... Isn't Packy some sort of a pejorative term for that particular
culture? It might be.
Culture?
I don't live in England. So I don't know what needs to be said.
Well, whatever. My question is, was going to be, why are we buying... Look, I haven't gone to the London School of Economics or nothing. But it just seemed like a mistake to be buying oil from Iran in the first place.
It's a great deal. It's only $3 a gallon.
I hate to be busting up everybody's good time here and whatnot, but... It seemed like that's like buying the propane for your backyard barbecue from Vinny the Chin Gigante or something. It doesn't necessarily seem like that's a road that's going to lead to a lot of good places. I'm sorry. So anyway, so she said, "What about what?"
Now I don't remember.
Well, let's just play it. Let's listen to
it. Did we already play it?
Another? I don't think so.
Okay.
It's another Zanny Rick Emerson out of context soundbite.
I think that we shouldn't place too much emphasis on a threat of this kind. After all, Iran is also very dependent on oil revenue. I think something like 80% of Iran's budget comes from oil revenue.
Why would we be buying oil for...
Because they give it to us at a good price.
That's just stupid. Maybe there's something about this I don't understand. I don't pretend to be a learned man. I am not a Rhodes Scholar. It's like of all the places in the world to buy your car, it's like going and purchasing your new truck from Suge Knight. It just seems poorly thought out. The whole thing. Well, whatever. All right. So there you go.
We've always bought stuff from them.
Have we?
Yes. Remember we put the Shah in Iran in power?
I guess. But, and then there was that whole thing where, what was it? They kidnapped like 500 Americans and held them for like a year and a half. Remember that whole thing? Was Iran, right?
That was Iran.
I'm thinking
America
this,
held hostage.
It's not a homonym. There isn't like another Iran somewhere that I'm confusing them with. This is the same. This is the, we are the great Satan and woe be unto us.
But please send Iran. Us our... Your gasoline.
Jesus Christ. All right.
It's a double-edged sword.
I bicycle today, so everybody else can pound it. Blood not on my hands today.
I don't remember the name of this watch, but it is clearly over.
There you go. Democracy on the march.
Starbucks. Yeah. Disney World. Yeah. Porno. Yeah. Valium. Yeah. Reebok. Yeah. Fake. Yeah. Sushi. Yeah. Taco Bell. Yeah. NFL. Yeah. Rock and roll. Yeah. Internet.
The world doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't, especially after Jennifer Anderson's movie's number one at the box office. What are people thinking?
It's a bunch of nonsense. Well, at least X-Men 3 fell out of first place. That's all that matters to me. Then I didn't see the Jennifer Aniston film. I may or may not see the Jennifer...
How was it?
I liked it.
You like Vince Vaughn, though?
Yes.
And I'm just... That guy, man, there's something about him that rubs me the wrong way.
He wasn't as shticky as he
really.
Usually
he was playing a little more serious.
Yeah, it was kind of a hard movie to watch.
I heard who was I listening to? I was listening to some show that wasn't this one. I honestly don't remember. I was still listening to some guy from the Oregonian, and he said that it was a lot darker than the advertising would lead you to believe.
It is
the
advertising
uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, the advertising actually just highlights all the funny, like the humorous parts, and then the rest of it, them. Screaming and crying, and it's just
they did that thing where they send the print to the editor in New York who's going to create the trailer, and he just finds all the wacky moments.
Mm-hmm.
Finds a lot of let's pull out all the kooky bits. All right, well, so there you go. So I have nothing against Vince Vaughn. I have nothing against Jennifer Aniston. Certainly
she was actually very good. The first 5 minutes of the movie I wasn't impressed with it. The acting was just it wasn't very good.
She's always good, even in terrible films.
Yeah.
What is that movie she did? Was it The Object of My Affection? Was that one that she did?
With Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
I think that's on every night on Lifetime.
Yeah, it was in the, it was like the Summer of Gay, like in 96 or whatever. Every movie had a straight person in love with a gay person, and that was her entry. There was Chasing Amy, and there was that Madonna film, all in like a 2-week period. I don't dislike Jennifer Aniston. She seems like a nice girl. All right. What is that? Oh, that's me. I turned your mic off.
You turned off my mic.
I'm sorry. Is it a dollar in the jar?
I didn't know that worked anymore.
Wasn't there some sort of a tip jar where we had to put money if we turned off the mic by accident?
There was.
No, that was a long time ago.
Those days are past.
Yep.
All right.
Meanwhile, a woman was struck in the leg by a shotgun blast after she and two others who spotted early this morning siphoning gas from vehicles in Sparks.
Oh, where?
This is at Sparks, Nevada.
Yeah.
The woman identified as 22-year-old Serena Ellis was hit in the leg. A man identified as Alden Norway, taken to the county jail, booked on suspicion of battery with a deadly weapon and shooting at a vehicle.
Somebody siphons gas out of your car, they should be shot.
This happened at 2:25 a.m.
Not that I'm advocating that. I'm saying shoot them a smile.
Police say this woman and another woman and another guy was siphoning gas when Noring awoke and went outside with a shotgun to confront them. Noring fired at least twice. He was involved in a similar shooting in 1995.
The rule is don't siphon gas from that guy. Mm-hmm. Go somewhere else. You know this is true. Somebody screws with your car. Sarah can identify with this. Somebody screws with your car, they ought to be killed. Killed with kindness. I'm not really killed physically, but I've talked about this. It was the last
time. Severe talking.
No, my car got burgled. This is one of the reasons why I do not own a firearm, because I would use it. I would have used it by now. I would have killed 10 people by now. You give me a gun, the next time I catch some little bastard out there breaking the window to my car, you're going to be one dead little bastard. That's one guy who's not going to be stealing too many jockey boxes from now on. Not going to happen. It's a terrible loss of life and everything when that sort of thing happens. You don't want to be shot. Don't go screwing with a guy's car. And siphoning gas is the lowest crime. It's just the lowest. I mean, it's almost better to steal a stereo, because at least then, you know, your insurance will take care of you, maybe. It's like a tangible thing. Maybe you can sell that for drug money, at least. Siphoning gas is just stupid. And especially because that's a thing you never realize. You get there, you turn the key, whole lot of nothing. Car didn't want to start. I remember back in the 70s, I remember my dad, two things. A, my dad, who owned many, many guns, keeping a handgun out, it wasn't on his bedside table. Where was it? I remember distinctly, because it was somewhere where
in the closet.
No, it was somewhere that I remember thinking at the time, that's totally unattended. I could get that and kill some people.
In the solarium.
I didn't. I don't even know what a solarium is. Isn't that a movie that George Clooney made? Oh. Yes, I remember Colonel Mustard. I remember Professor Plum telling me that. But I remember my dad had, because there have been a bunch of gas stealings, or whatever the word might be, in our neighborhood during the gas crisis in the 70s. My dad keeping a gun out because it's like as soon as he heard the rattling of the gas cap, he was going to go kill some people. And then we got the locking gas cap, which is, I don't think they sell locking gas caps anymore. I think the whole thing just closes, but. Anyway, yeah, my point is it's a low crime, and anybody who does that should be beaten senseless.
Time now for the Bushwatch.
Is your Bushwatch for whatever this day might be?
Do we have someone at 12:30?
Here's the Sarah fine. Watch, where she breaks in and tells us that we're egregiously behind.
Yeah, because it's already 12:24.
Damn!
We can do this quick.
No, we can't.
Oh, we'll do it later.
Well, we should wait for Lisa Goddard.
Right, well, let's play some spots.
Lisa Goddard. Let's play some spots from some of our many fine advertisers. Lisa Goddard, by the way, she's going to be talking Bush anyway, so it all comes together. Because apparently George Bush on the warpath against activist judges. So there you go. George Bush trying to boost his 2% approval rating or whatever it is now. It's another cage match, George Bush versus the gays. We'll talk about that when we get back. There, Don Rickles tickets and buffet passes. Going to be giving those away later on. Peter Carlin, top five, all of that. Hey, you stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio, some wonders. All right, so Rick. It's the Rick Harrison Show. They gave me a cough button. Now I don't use it. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick@RickEmerson.com. We are now 29 and a half hours away from Horns Across the Hawthorne, the greatest photo op in the history of Portland. Here's the thing, is that future generations will look at this photograph and they will say, if only I had been born in time for that great day. Had I only been born a few generations earlier, I too could have participated in this fantastic photo shoot. I want to get it, when it's finally done, I want to get it all sepia toned and whatnot. And then it'll look like a Ken Burns film. a lot of jazz playing in the background and the camera moving around inside the frame. It's 503-733-2970. So coming up, well, I got this stuff on Horns Across the Hawthorne. I will read. There, we've got to... It's wrong for children to cut class, by the way. I want to say that right now in response to... Who is this from? This is from via MySpace. Here's the thing. We're already trending towards people never... Like, people no longer emailing. They're just giving me MySpace stuff. This is from a listener known as... Green Venom. And Green... Attention, advertisers. You too can... Green Venom says, Rick, not only am I going to be there, Horns Across the Hawthorne tomorrow, not only am I coming with Alice Cooper face paint, but I am also getting a large chunk of my school to ditch out and come be part of rock history. I wish I could say that's how I would finish high school going there, but it's on the day before my last day. Well, see you anyway.
Yeah, somebody called and said tomorrow's senior skip day, too.
Well, there you go. That works out nicely. Not that you should cut class. These are the most glorious days of your life. These are the golden years. Cherish every moment that you are imprisoned in that school, learning useless material that will not benefit you at all.
Yeah, my senior skip day was awesome.
Yeah.
Have fun, kids.
Yeah.
I don't believe we skipped.
Well, of course not. You went to a school, you're not allowed to just come up and beat you with a rattan cane if you try to skip. Beat you with a matta candle. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let us welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, the Overlord of Evil, the original Harry Scary Guy, a big bowl of frightening fun, Clyde Lewis from ClydeLewis.com, Ground Zero. How are you, Glenn?
I'm not bad. I was told today that I'm the agent for the devil. You can get to the devil through me, I guess.
You weren't That's told convenient. That. Quit bragging. No one told you that.
No, it happened today. Somebody said, well, you know, you're not the devil, but...
In what context...
We were just discussing the situation
who?
With the 666 party today.
Who? With whom were you having this conversation? Because here's the thing, I don't doubt it.
Hurts here at the office. He was really, really kind of frightened about the Horns Across the Hawthorne. He was also frightened about my 666 party, but he still might come. So
I'm just saying, I can't imagine what office conversation you would strike up with somebody that would then involve the phrase, you are a vessel of evil.
Yeah, well,
normally with me, it's like a lot of, do you know where the toner cartridge is?
Well, it's because one of our head guys saw my name in the paper associated with some satanic orgy going on 666, and so they said, you know, you're going to do this at Dante's? I think I'm going to come. This is going to be fun. Yeah. I said, but you got to go to the Horns Across the Hawthorne Thank first.
Excellent.
And so I don't know how that's going to happen, but I also heard something from, I guess Chris was telling me something to the extent that some Christian groups are really kind of frightened by what you're going to do, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well,
As they should be.
So they're going to drop everything at the Sharpening Code protest and come over and bother you.
Says Tim sharpening his trident. So you've got, hold on, let's get a hold of ourselves here. So tomorrow is Horns Across the Hawthorne. That is, we are gathering at 5:30 at the end of the Northwest Pedestrian Ramp, Hawthorne Bridge. Mm-hmm. We will line the bridge, and then at 6:06, bada bing, bada boom, horns in the air. Ka-ching, photo taken, locked in, immortalized for history.
Right.
And then we retire to Dante's. We will spin the pentagram of prizes at the after party. There will be refreshments of all varieties. We're going to be giving away the very first run of AM 970 Solid State Radio shirts.
Cool.
We're also going to be giving away 6 minutes of the Rick Emerson Show for someone to do with whatever they want. And then the great thing is, in an inadvertent bit of cross-promotion, it's going to completely blend because our after-party will be ending just as the Clyde Lewis 666 party is starting.
Right.
And that's going to be, you are going to be there, Cleveland, who we love. They're going to be performing. I Can Lick Any Son of a Bitch in the House is going to be performing.
Right.
It's going to be good times. So
yeah, it's going to be a great show. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
What are you doing at your thing tomorrow? What is your 666?
Well, you know, I'm going to be just talking up 666 and about, you know, some of the fear behind it, maybe the Antichrist, you know, talk about the Antichrist a little bit. Who knows? I'm just going to be, you know, hosting it and talking about 666 and some of the strange things about 666. You know, like, for example, if you add 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4, and then 567, and then 89.
Why?
You get 666.
Why would you do that?
Well, it's just that, you know, 9 is the satanic number, according to Anton LaVey, so you have to find out how you can do the 9s and the 6s. And, like, 666 is also 18. 8 and 1 is 9. It's really kind of a strange little combination there. The 6, the 6, and the 6. The 6 is the symbology of man. The 6th planet, Saturn, and the 6 is the number of increase. So, therefore, it's man serving under the master for his material gain. That's what 666 stands for.
You're
That's
just,
what people all
you're just screwing with us.
Is
you're
blow up.
You're totally just screwing with
the mind.
seriously. I think you're thinking of I think you're thinking of Nine is a Magic Number by Schoolhouse Rock.
Well, Nine is the satanic number.
You should totally do a parody of that, that Nine is
nine
a magic
is a
number.
Number.
But totally, a nine is an evil number.
Well, nine actually means none. Nine means none. It means no. It means end. That's why when you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, it goes back to 1, 0, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, and it goes like that the whole time. And nine is kind of a strange number in that regard because nine is always the end. It's never the beginning. It's kind of strange.
Tim is actually physically pulling away from the microphone.
And actually, 999, when you do a handstand, is 666.
Okay, you got to stop. I'm begging you.
I just thought I'd joke about that.
It's
a little gallows humor here.
Yeah, okay. All right. Hey, so, but to get to the thing everybody cares about, so you were claiming last night, there was a Barfly magazine, they were having their anniversary party last night. Which was at Sabala's. We all went. It was fantastic time.
Right.
Awkward at moments, but largely enjoyable. I don't know if you remember this, but you at one point were claiming last night that George Bush and Condoleezza Rice were having an affair and that Laura Bush had moved out of the White House.
She has moved out of the White House. It's common knowledge, but there's Cox News has been reporting that Condi and Bush have been having an affair, and they want to like spread it everywhere, but they're trying to keep it quiet. But yeah, Laura moved out because she's taken a page right out of the book of Hillary Clinton. They're saying that she's going to move out of the White House and that she's going to, you know, come back and
so you, this is
powerful.
This is, but when you say it's common knowledge, like among who? Like
Washington,
where did you...
Washington insiders,
this,
yeah.
This pundits or...
Well, it's all back in the day when they were talking about whether or not Karl Rove was gay. It's all back to that.
So this is the inside, the people inside the Beltway.
Yes, exactly. Right. Inside. But you know what's the bigger news is a rain of blood over India was so cool. They actually, this guy, he's this scientist in India, and this was reported in CNN, that there was a rain of blood over India and they didn't know what it was. And so the scientist claimed that what it was is like a meteor or some sort of a comet exploded over India and mixed with the clouds, and it rained down red blood.
And instead of like a creamy nougat filling, it had a creamy blood filling.
It actually had extraterrestrial blood in it.
Okay, you're just screwing with us again.
No, you're just making stuff up now. The blood that was found is not, it was real blood, and they don't know where it came from, and they're thinking it hitched a ride on the comet, and that's what a lot of people believe seeded this planet. Was like
no one believes that.
Earth, and it's called panspermia is what they call it.
Okay. You have to... Okay, you're done now.
Am I freaking you out?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Well, there's a lot of alcohol in me from Sabala's last night. So
I never would have guessed that. You're hiding it well. So are you just giving all the college kids drunken advice today? What should I do? I don't know. Screw it.
I'm having a great time today. I'm going to be at Dante's tonight, you know, as well, speaking the speak and talking the talk. My shows are really kind of bizarre, and they love them.
Never would have. All right, and then tomorrow, 666 party. Are you going to be at Horns Across the Hawthorne?
Yeah, I'm going to try and get out.
Try not. Do or do not.
I will try.
There is no try.
Okay.
All right. Clyde Lewis,
Horns
ladies and gentlemen.
Are coming.
ClydeLewis.com. All right.
You promised yesterday you were coming. You're coming, right?
Well, I promised you. How can I not?
You don't want to let Sarah down, do you?
No. What's that?
You don't want to let Sarah down. You want to see the sadness on Sarah's face, do you?
That would kill me. That would just devastate me.
Yes.
No. Sarah, would you give me your sad face?
Well, if you don't show up.
If you're
up.
Not there, you won't be able to see it.
Exactly.
Okay, well.
She'll text you a sad face.
I'll be there, I guess.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Turn that frown upside down.
Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Turn that 999 upside down, baby.
Yes. ClydeLewis.com. We'll see you tomorrow, my friend.
Okay, take
care. All right, there you go. There's Clyde Lewis and tonight at Dante's and then tomorrow at Dante's. Raining alien blood over India. That's just going to be a new lot. Raining alien blood over India. This is the Rick Emerson. Here's Tim Riley.
It's half of the Bush Watch.
Here's your Bush Watch. Since we've already done that he's having some sort of steamy affair with Condoleezza Rice.
Life is hard, that's the price of fame when you're president.
Everyone knows you're there.
Hey, what's that there? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my Bush.
Well, with 5 months to go before the midterm elections and failing in the polls, President Bush, whose once faithful base has abandoned him in droves, is turning to the same conservative hot-button issue that won him re-election in 2004, Those damn homosexuals who want to get married.
Darn gays.
The president, now fully aware of his plummeting approval ratings, could cost Republicans control of one or both congressional chambers in November. And he used his radio address for a speech to push a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. The crux is simple. The majority of Americans support the idea that marriage is exclusively between a man and a woman.
Here's the thing. I'm almost willing to believe that because the vast majority of Americans are stupid, stupid people. So I could almost buy that the average unwashed, fat, hairy American wants there to be some sort of... That Brittany and Kevin should be the only people to have long, stable... And that other guy that she was married to for like a day.
Yeah.
What was that guy's name?
Nobody remembers. He was paid off.
George Costanza? Jason Alexander. Wasn't the name Jason Alexander? Yeah, so that guy. So that's the...
I thought he was on...
That's the kind of long-lasting, strong, heterosexual bond that we need to encourage in this country. Is that and, like, Dennis Rodman and that whoever the three women are he's married at the Little White Chapel in Vegas. So that's... I could almost believe that, but here's the thing. It's not that Americans don't want some sort of thing like this, because they probably do, because, again, most Americans are not very bright. But it's... I think Americans are a lot more concerned about, you know, jobs and... Like not having members of their family sent somewhere and they're like shot in the face so that we can continue to pay $5 a gallon for gas. So I really am strongly doubting that this is going to work again. I don't think even the
there
magic...
aren't even enough bigots in the Republican Party at the moment.
That's what I mean. It's like even
and that's usually where you find them all.
Even George Bush's white hooded supporters have abandoned him because they in the 2004 election. And this is just hard. Again, this is not even a partisan viewpoint. This is just as this is. I mean, everybody kind of knows that this. Were Lee Atwater alive, he would agree with me on this. That it, like in the 2004 election, Bush polled like 98% of the Republican vote. They said right now, if the election was held tomorrow, he'd poll less than 70%. He's lost a third of his Republican base. So I don't really know that whipping up a whole we got to flog the gays is going to work this time. So I think he may be. Screwed, what he may be.
Tony Stowe says this is a very important debate.
Of course there's a political dimension to it. There's going to be a Senate vote on it, for heaven's sake. So, yeah, there's naturally... there are political dimensions on both sides. This is an issue that I think is of keen interest to a lot of people.
Here's really what the left wing ought to be doing, though. The left wing ought to be pitching right now, and I'm not talking about some channel nobody gets, like the Logo channel. You pick some like regular cable channel, like a Spike TV... A hot lesbian wedding reality show right now. You want to start winning over the bread and butter in America? You want to start winning over the heartland? You start putting hot chicks on television, getting married, and then making out. Right now. That would win people over. You want to try to get that NASCAR vote behind gay marriage? That's how you do it, my friends. And none of this, this thing where it's a bunch of Rosie O'Donnells out there tying them. That's not going to convince anybody.
And the problem is you got to put phrases together with no more than three words. They still haven't learned what Americans understand. Put any phrase together with three words. Repeat it in every sentence.
Put it on a banner behind you.
Nobody will ever investigate the truthfulness behind it. It's gospel. Just freedom. What eggs?
And then put it on a trucker hat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's good times to be alive, my friends.
Meanwhile, at a D.C. news conference, the Reverend Robert Hardy has accused Republican leaders of pandering their conservative base before November's midterm congressional election.
There isn't anyone here who is naive enough to believe that the introduction of this legislation now in two consecutive election cycles is anything but a politically motivated effort to win votes by demonizing a class of citizens.
All right. You can pretty much just track Dixie Chicks' CDs and ticket sales from now on as a bellwether of who's going to be fooled by this and who isn't. So, all right.
That's our Bush watch.
There you go,
he's
kids.
He's the president in residence. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
Here's what it is. See, now I'm getting the obligatory Rick. W is the 23rd letter of the alphabet. 2 times 3 is 6. WWW equals 666.
Turn it upside down. It's an M.
So Stephen Canby. You know what this thing is with Bush and Karl Rove, though? Everybody in my generation has had this experience where you're playing Mortal Kombat with some guy, and he's what they call a button masher. When you're in video game terminology, there's a term called button mashing, and it's that one guy, it's the guy you play against, whether you're playing, it doesn't matter, you're playing a boxing game, you're playing whatever, some sort of fighting game. It's the guy who finds, like, one a combination of buttons that works really well, and it's usually a glitch in the system somehow. It's like if you press A, B twice and then like hit left, that it'll somehow fire a fireball, like, right into your opponent's head. And so when he discovers that move, that's all he does. He just presses A, B twice and left over and over and over again, is shooting fireballs at your head. It's the cheesiest way to win. But it's for people with no skill, no demonstrable talent at said video game. They just find this one button glitch, and that's all they exploit. And that's what this gay marriage thing is for the Bush administration. They have no policy, no plan, no success, no track record, no traction, can't get anything done, can't solve the national deficit, can't win a war, can't lower the price of gas, can't make groceries affordable, can't insure anybody, can't find nobody a job. Gays! That's it right there. So there you go. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Citadesk.
Well, I see Floridians have been up to their difficult follies over the weekend. We have several stories here, and I hardly know where to begin.
From where?
Florida.
Yeah. Oh, damn. There we go. That's for hubris.
Dateline Lutz, Florida.
Lutz. It just sounds like a smart place. Isn't Lutz a kind of soap?
That was, I don't know.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I thought I had the answer, and all of a sudden it just went out the other ear somewhere.
You went
in the Sarah Dillon's direction. I couldn't hang on to that thought long enough.
File not found.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dateline Lutz, Florida. The bodies of two college students were found inside a deflated promotional balloon. Apparently, the bodies were
found... Tell me it was a giant gorilla.
It doesn't say
advertising
that.
Like, you know, we're going ape with savings.
The bodies were found partially inside a deflated helium balloon at the entrance of a condominium complex. It was an 8-foot diameter balloon used to advertise this complex. Apparently, the students pulled themselves inside the balloon and sealed it shut around them.
These are college students?
Yes.
Genius.
Mm-hmm. They're 21-year-old Jason Ackerman and Sarah Reidman. Apparently, they pulled themselves inside this helium balloon and closed out all air. It was more than a fun thing they thought they were doing, said the dead student's mother. You know how you blow up a balloon and suck up the helium?
You know how you crawl inside a plastic laundry bag and seal it up and then lay on the floor and wait for the Grim Reaper to come and take you away for the sweet embrace of the hereafter?
Inhaling helium can quickly lead to brain damage and death for the lack of oxygen, according to the Compressed Gas Association.
Maybe they need to add that to their first year. Like, maybe their syllabus needs to contain something like that. Don't climb inside plastic things.
I think she was just being mischievous, to be honest with you, said the dead girl's mother.
Yes.
She's just like fun.
Yes, I know. I know the tendency is to romanticize your dead, stupid child, pretend that they weren't just... Look, I mean, that's just a... You know, that's just a thinning of the herd thing right there, sister. Have another kid. Maybe it'll be smarter. Probably not, because it's in Lutz... because it's in Florida. There we go, Lutz, Florida. There you go. And it was a college kid.
Two of them.
I mean, you...
And if they're 21, that means they're probably seniors.
Seriously.
They made it that far.
Oh, man. You know what it is? That's like your sink has that little overflow drain at the top. You know what I mean? Like, if you leave it running, it just starts to keep the spillover. There's all kinds of overflow drains just scattered around this world waiting to kill off the stupid. Good times.
Miami story number two comes to us from Miami. A man was accused of putting a potato on the barrel of a gun, believing the spud would act as a silencer to muzzle the shooting of a woman.
Tell me he's dead.
Shane Thompson carved a hole in a potato with a spoon, stuck his gun inside, and threatened to shoot the mother of his child.
Carved a hole in a potato with a spoon. When?
He reportedly told the woman nobody will hear the shot because the potato has silencing qualities. So, get this. Apparently, he was talked out of it.
Am
he
I?
Never fired the potato-tipped gun, but instead hit the woman several times.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at hitting the woman. I'm still back on the, this potato has silencing qualities.
While spuds are nutritious, the silencing potato is an urban legend dating back to the 1920s.
Kids,
he apparently isn't alone believing in this myth.
I've never heard this myth that you can use a potato for a silencer. You use a pillow like everybody else does.
Yes, a Miami-Dade financial advisor was convicted in the early 1990s of shooting one of his clients to death with a gun top of the potato.
He's a financial advisor. He can afford a real silencer. He has no excuse.
The potato was found under the dead body.
Potato with a spoon.
This is Dateline Central Florida. A 19-year-old Central Florida man was arrested on suspicion he shot and killed a teen after beer was accidentally spilled on his lap at the bar. The fight broke out at Donnelly's Pub. Detectives say somebody accidentally spilled the beer on the alleged shooter inside the pub, which was a catalyst for the shooting. Talked to witnesses in the bar that night, it all started with spilled beer. Ultimately, what happened was he was running from the scene and was stopped at an apartment complex near the scene and asked the lady if he could use the telephone. Apparently, they traced the phone calls made by the culprit. He called one of the accomplices and was able to trace the phone call back to these guys. It is inconceivable that we have reached a point in society when a spilled beer could lead to a man's death.
Yes.
Not in Florida.
Yes, it's inconceivable. I could never imagine that a bar in Florida where liquor is flowing freely could lead to some sort of a death.
Well, a good Samaritan helped a 5 foot... Oh, this is also
Are we
Florida.
Still in Florida?
We definitely are. This is a whole weekend roundup.
The whole state's going to be gone by the end of the day.
And in Florida. A good Samaritan helped a 5 foot, 4 inch female officer subdue a drug suspect who was 7 feet tall.
I saw the picture. That guy's huge. He's all lurch and whatnot.
Yep. Officer Julianne Welch stopped a car on Highway 5 because the driver wasn't wearing a seatbelt. She said the passenger, Mike Schmidt, was acting suspiciously, so she told him to get out of the car. He just continually disobeyed my commands. He kept putting his hands in his pocket. He was shaking horribly. She found cocaine and drank paraphernalia on him. His dashboard camera caught the following incident. As she starts to handcuff Schmidt, he struggles and tries to run, but Welch refuses to let go. I pulled him backwards off balance, tried to pull his shirt, but I couldn't reach that high up.
No, he's huge.
Mm-hmm. So Steve Schmidt saw what was happening and helped Welch subdue the man. He showed up after we started rolling around in the briars. It makes the police department feel good that our citizens support us in that matter and come to help us.
Now, by the way, we've got this. This is from Luke. Is this Australian Luke?
Australian for Luke.
From Popular Science, I swear to God, this story is written by a guy named Jebediah Reed. As bizarre as mysterious red cells might be, aliens. As bizarre as it may seem, the sample jars brimming with cloudy reddish rainwater in Godfrey Lewis's laboratory in southern India may hold aliens. This is from CNN. What's happening over there? In April, Lewis, a solid-state physician at Mahatma Gandhi University, this sounds fake, published a paper in prestigious peer-reviewed journal Astrophysicist in which he hypothesizes that the samples were water taken from mysterious blood-colored showers that fell across India contained micro... I'm done reading this. This is
that
stupid.
Was too long of a sentence with too many big words.
It lost me Mahatma Gandhi University. Yeah, all right.
That was just too much.
Here's Tim Riley.
Time for countdown to 666.
Here's your countdown to 666 on the Rick Emerson Show.
A Netherlands-based evangelical organization has called on Christians in 21 countries to hold a 24-hour prayer vigil against satanic forces to mark the so-called Devil's Day. Some fear the date 6606, which falls tomorrow, signifies 666, the biblical number of the devil, and will usher in calamities and even the end of the world.
Uh-huh.
The Dutch-based organization Ambassador Ministry called for a 24-hour vigil at 6 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, saying it hopes...
As though God follows Greenwich Mean Time.
Mm-hmm.
This is like that whole thing in the Gremlins. Yeah, about to never feed a gremlin, never feed a mogwai after midnight. Well, midnight when? How does the goddamn mogwai know what time it is, you sons of bitches? I'm sorry, perhaps it's a disproportionate amount of anger about mogwais. I'm just saying. It's like the guy says in Gremlins 2, the new batch. Suppose you're on a plane, you're crossing the international dateline. Suppose the mogwai has food stuck in his teeth. You think he's done, swallows a little bit of parsley or something after he crosses the international dateline. What are you gonna do? Stupid. Listen to this. Somebody tell me, call me and tell me where Warner Pacific, Sarah, do you know this? Warner Pacific College?
It must be upstairs of something.
Is it a strip mall somewhere?
Is that
somewhere?
The one in the Lloyd Center food court?
It might be. It's between a Quiznos and a TCBY somewhere. This is from their website. I did not.
At least they have a website.
I did not post this, by the way. It sounds like the kind of thing I might have done. I did not do this. This was posted by someone called PDX Christian. That is their name. It is not me, I swear to you, nor is it anyone I know. I have complete plausible deniability here. I have no idea how this got posted. Warner Pacific College Forum, here we go. Let's find out. I give you like 3-1 against this is George. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Andy from Portland.
Andy, how are you, sir?
Doing well.
Where's Warner Pacific College?
It is on 67th and Division.
Oh, that sounds like a reputable school.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. What kind of a school is this?
It's actually a liberal arts Christian school.
Really?
Yeah, kind of an oxymoron, I know.
What kind of liberal arts do they teach at a Christian? Is it just a lot of those things where you make, like, clay things with your kid's handprint in it, and then you hang it on the refrigerator and forget about it? What do they do there?
I don't know exactly. I actually looked into it. Looked into going there. Like, they have a communications program. They have Bible study and stuff like that.
Yeah, that'll get you a job. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Andy.
No problem.
All right, there you go. All right, so there you go. But this is from their message board. I swear to you, this is a real posting by PDX Christian, whoever he or she may be. There's a group planning a Horns Across the Hawthorne event where they're soliciting participants to meet at 6:06 on 666, then assemble on the Hawthorne Bridge to all flash the, quote, devil sign, end quote. Listen to how they can't even get this right. They identify the devil sign as being closed hand with thumb, forefinger, and pinky extended. That, of course, is wrong. Everybody know, do we all know what that is? That's the I love
That's
you
I
sign.
I love you, yeah. They should know that, being a happy PDX Christian.
Going to a fine college like Warner Pacific College, I'm shocked. Keep all the balloons away from that place. At the same time, this seems like a nice... Listen to the grammar used by this person who goes to Warner Pacific College. This is someone whose parents should demand a prorated refund. This seems like a nice thing for groups to show up and show their support for Christ. Okay, there's like five different ways in which this sentence is grammatically incorrect, but I will move on. This seems like a nice thing for groups to show up and show their support for Christ instead of making a mockery of the dangers of Satanism. Please pass this along to your church groups. You can do a search on the event. They don't even have the courtesy to link. You can do a search on the event name to gather more information. There you go. That's from the message board at Warner Pacific College. Good times. All right. Do we have?
Well, let's hope they don't skip school tomorrow and get themselves in trouble for doing.
No, that'd be wrong. Do we have another half to this countdown?
I do, right here. Right, this comes to us from Hell, Michigan. They're planning a hunt time in hell. The day bears the date 666, or abbreviated as 666, a number that carries hellish significance. And there's not a snowball's chance in hell.
Oh, come on. This is like the third
pun. That the day will go unnoticed in the... this is an unincorporated hamlet 60 miles west of Detroit.
That's like the third pun in two sentences there. I was gonna give all the puns a pass for 666, but they're going to knock it off.
Nobody's more fired up than John Colon.
Fired up.
The town self-styled mayor in order of a souvenir shop. I've got 666 shirts and mugs. I'm only ordering 666 of the items, so once they're gone, that's it, said Colon, who's known as Odom Plenty.
Okay. He's a self-styled mayor?
Yes. Apparently nobody else wants to be mayor.
So he just wants to be...
It's like, you know, Johnny Grant, the self-styled mayor of Hollywood. There's no election held there. Nobody would want the job.
You know what? From now on, I'm the self-styled mayor of Portland. There you go.
That's fine.
Maybe they can give me a horrible statue. Hey, give me a statue where I look Barry Manilow.
That new statue of Veracat.
You totally, this is, Tim.
What did I do with that story?
By the way, in case anybody else makes this observation about the Veracat statue, it's Tim. Tim was the first one to do it. I'm stealing it from him. I don't have it somewhere.
Oh, here we go. A statue of Portland's former mayor Veracat was unveiled in southeast Portland on Friday. This is at the Veracat's East Bank Esplanade that runs across the east side of the Willamette River. However, this statue looks like Barry Manilow.
It looks exactly like Barry Manilow. You can totally picture the statue singing I Made It Through the Rain.
Maybe it's stolen from Vegas.
I mean, look, no disrespect to Veracat. She is not
She's a fine mayor.
She is not a conventionally beautiful woman.
She's a nice lady.
That could be nobody but Barry Manilow.
It's a hideous statue. I mean, it's I think Veracat would, you know, she's good at many things. She's not going to be in the cover of Maxim anytime lately, but, you know, it doesn't matter. But it's, she's a fine person, I guess. The statue is terrible. The statue looks...
like Barry Manilow.
Just like Barry Manilow. So, you know, the word to the wise.
I don't know who did this thing.
Somebody who should be...
probably the arts department of Warner Pacific College.
Totally. All right, but in Hell, Michigan, they're having this big party. That's a great thing. Let me tell you this. That's an excuse for me to tell this story. I own a square foot of Hell, Michigan. I have a deed at home. Square foot of Hell, Michigan, that was given to me by... what was the record label? I think Atlantic? No, CBS. CBS Records, I think, is actually who it was. Dangerous Toys, who was a great, an overlooked band. They came out in the 80s. First album came out in 89. Second album came out in 91, I think. And they were kind of got lumped in with all the hair bands at the time. But Dangerous Toys is a great band, a band from Texas. And they put out this album called Hellacious Acres. And and I wasn't the music director, but it's like the music director gave it to me, I think, because she didn't want it or whatever. But the CBS Records was giving away square deeds for square feet of Hell, Michigan. And I've got it at home somewhere. It's like signed and numbered and everything. So there you go. There's my story there. There you go. That's your countdown to 666 right here on the Rick Emerson Show on Monday. All right, 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. Don Rickles tickets. I hold them. Well, I don't hold them. I'm holding in my hand a thing that represents Don Rickles tickets. Also, two free buffet dinners. Not actual size. So we got those coming up. What else? Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio is going to be here later on. We have the top five we're going to get to. Peter Carlin is going to talk about last night's Sopranos semi-season finale and so forth. Plus, we'll be talking more about Horns Across the Hawthorn, which is now 29 hours away. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio.